Jack.
Brian.
You know, audiobooks are a thing.
I know they're a thing. I've read about them.
They need people to read audiobooks. You knew that.
I mean, I would guess that's how they work.
I've written or I've voiced audiobooks in the past.
Sure, but not for books you've written.
No, for other people's books. Yeah.
Which is true.
And it's true. It's true that you voice other people's books. They pay you for it. It's nice. And I thought it'd be a good way to get the podcast some money.
Yep.
If we got you into the audiobook business. So I have a friend at HarperCollins and they said, hey, just have Jack just do an audiobook audition.
That sounds great. I'd be really excited to. And way to name drop that you have a friend at HarperCollins. Like we get
it. Yeah. Well, they published my first book, Jack. This whole audiobook business. It could be a lot of money for you or for us, for the podcast in general.
I want to help. Not everything can be paid for by the generosity of Silent Partners.
Silent Partners, formerly Copy Plus. So, Jack, I'm going to send you a script that HarperCollins asked me to have you read. Mm-hmm. It's a book that's coming out. It's about the life of Albert R. Broccoli. Do you know who he is?
The James Bond producer?
That's right. The guy behind all the James Bonds.
Yeah.
So this is the biography of Albert Broccoli and it's called Broccoli, Albert Broccoli. That's the title of the book.
And everyone under 60 has just stopped listening. Enjoy Conan O'Brien's podcast, everybody.
So Jax, what they said, just, you know, start reading this chapter that they sent and they're going to evaluate you. Now, of course you have to be professional. You can't, you know, lose character in the middle of a read for an audiobook. So just, you know, read it, do it your best.
Not a problem for me. I just got this. I've never read this before. Let me just take a quick look.
Take a quick look. They're asking me for it now. So let's just get it to them.
Oh, okay. All right. Time's of the essence. Here we go. I'm ready. Count me down.
Yes. Take it away. Audiobook audition, Jack, in 3, 2, 1.
To this day, Broccoli is credited with creating some of the most iconic characters in cinematic history, owing to his knack for choosing names that were both memorable and provocative. This theme would continue throughout all subsequent Bond films. For Goldfinger, Broccoli needed a name that would capture attention and leave a lasting impression on audiences. Drawing inspiration from the era's penchant for cheeky double entendres and playful innuendo, Broccoli landed on the name Pussy Galore, which perfectly encapsulated the character's bold and seductive nature. Broccoli's co-producer, Harry Saltzman, a Jew, I guess, recalled that his colleague only arrived at the name Pussy Galore after an incredibly grueling process of creation and reflection that took months. Some of the names that made the shortlist but would ultimately never see the silver screen included Kathy Caressa, Madame Exotica, Ivana Humpalot, Barbara Peepee Touch, and Sarah Jessica Parker. Broccoli's tireless dedication to finding the perfect name cemented his reputation as a master of cinematic flair. Broccoli, humble as he was, always claimed that the inspiration truly came from his childhood friend, Winston Vagina Lover III. Upon Broccoli's death, his entire collection of brainstormed names were printed out on 48 sheets of paper, the list containing every beloved name from Marco Areola Boobies to Amanda Zipper Opener, was then folded up and sewn into his abdomen so that he could show St. Peter his hard work in the event he wasn't on the list to get into heaven to chill with Jesus. It feels like the whole book. It feels like that was from like his creative peak to his death. It feels like a very short book.
It's a, you know, they have novellas, which are like short novels. Mm-hmm. This is a Biogrella.
Okay. I see. I didn't know that. Now, I was so in the moment. Did I get it?
No, because you weren't totally professional. You laughed a little bit.
Well, like Barbara Peepee Touch and Sarah Jessica Parker are kind of difficult names to say.
No, I can understand that. But they're looking for a professional read. They want someone who can just stroll into a studio, pick up a book, whether it's 280 pages, like my book published by HarperCollins, or, you know, a 30-page Biogrella. And you just need to be able to get in the studio, stand in front of that microphone and just read away. You know what? We'll get another chance.
All right. I hope so. Sorry, Brian.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Let's start the podcast on this down note.
You're listening to Questionable Material with Jack and Brian, a mostly improvised podcast produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMPodcast.com.
By the way, Brian.
Yeah. Yes.
On that bit we just did, I believe Ivana Humpalot, isn't that the name of the... in Austin Powers, wasn't that one of the villains that they spoofed?
I don't know.
I actually think you chose.
I thought it was a lot of Fachina.
Ivana Humpalot quotes. Well, they did three of them. Yep. And she says to him at one point, do you know how we keep warm in Russia? Austin says, I can guess, baby. Ivana says, we play chess. Austin says, I guess wrong. That's really funny. Ivana Humpalot was a character in Austin Powers, dude.
No kidding. All right. Well, good to know. Good to know.
That's cool. Yeah. How you doing, Brian?
Good, Jack. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm better now. I was not great over the last 5 days when I and my entire family, wife, two children, the one who can inherit my land, the boy, and the other one, the girl, the throwaway, and then the organ farm, the new baby, all five of us got COVID.
Really?
All five of us, including the 4.5 month old baby, had COVID. It was not fun.
Now, you know, that might scare some people, but if you actually read statistics, you'd know your baby was not in danger.
Yes. I mean, you just feel sad for her little, difficulty breathing and
yeah, no, that's something it's got an entertaining aspect to it for sure. But what? Yeah, you're not worried if you read statistics that you're because kids 18 and under, they're fine. It's the big fat old people who died.
Like define old because I know I cover half of that demographic.
Yeah, it's somewhere up there. It's in the 60s.
Phew. Okay. All right. Good.
Getting there.
Yeah, we are.
So how'd you get COVID? What's the ground zero? What's your Wuhan story?
Well, you know what? That is what I wanted to ask you, because I know you go through the tapes. You're creating a reality show based on the Helmuth family. Is that right?
Keeping up with the Helmuths.
Keeping up with the Helmuths. That's what it's called?
What's it called? Waking up with the Helmuths, because keeping up was taken.
Okay. Waking up with Helmuth. What sort of, before we sort of get into it, what sort of is your vision for a show based on my family?
Well, I wanted to capture what goes on an entire day when you wake up with the Helmuths. Uh-huh. So every episode starts with me bursting through the bedroom door with an air horn. And I blast the air horn and it's like, wakey, wakey, time to go. Let's get this day rolling.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
You know, and I'll use funny props like a rolling pin and I'll just like prod you or whack you with it depending on my mood and just kind of motivate you to get you up and running to see how your day goes.
That's so cool. And you know, cause I'm not there for it. Cause the kids get up earlier for school. What were the, cause I stupid me, bad parenting. I forgot to tell the kids about this, that I'd signed on to do the show. So what was it like sort of that first time you came into my kids' room? How did you wake them up with the camera crew and all that stuff? And how did it go?
Well, I woke up, I came first thing in the morning, like 6 o'clock. I think you were on a business trip.
Yeah, I was in California.
So you were in California. So I came bursting into the kids' room, into Eden's room, your daughter's room. Mm-hmm. I just come bursting away, blow the air horn. She screamed like girls scream, you know, when older men come bursting into their room, screaming.
And I know waving that sound. I know that sound.
Yeah. And they, you know, so she shrieked and then she looked at me and she said, what are you doing, Godfather?
Yep.
Yeah. And then I looked at her and I said, let's get this day going. And so I stood there and I was like, get dressed. Let's do this. Let's do this. Get dressed, get dressed. And I don't know what you taught her, but she made me leave the room.
Yeah.
While she gets dressed. So I left the room. I stood outside. It's really boring footage. It's just me waiting outside the room. She takes a long time to get dressed.
Yeah. It's bad TV. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. So it's like 8 to 12 minutes of me just kind of loitering upstairs, you know, wandering around the bedroom, waiting for her to get dressed. And then she comes out And I was like, okay, we're going to get this day going. We got to get you to school.
Well, and just to interrupt real quick. I do want to sincerely apologize for that, because I know you had sort of hoped to sort of get that, you know, Jared from Subway, Matt Gaetz type of crowd who might like to see my daughter get dressed. So I do apologize to sort of cut off your potential audience.
There is an audience out there of minor attracted people who like to see kids getting dressed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was hoping to, I want to paint a broad brush. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a niche audience. I want to reach out to everybody.
That's awesome. I totally understand that and respect that. So anyway, please continue. So,
as a result of me standing outside the hallway, I have a huge following now of conservative Christians. So they like that. That was a plus for them.
Oh, cool. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Whatever we can do to help. So continue.
And hopefully the show will get picked up on The Blaze.
Now, is that a gay rights network?
It was, but then it was purchased. It was a firefighters union, and then they sold it to this guy out of Texas.
The chimney guy who likes to do fireplaces?
Yeah, he was a chimney sweep mm-hmm. in Texas. And of course, you don't have a lot of fireplaces there.
That's right.
Doesn't get cold. Doesn't get below 80 degrees in Texas. That's what I read on Wikipedia.
That's right. Never. Not once.
And so they sold that business to a gentleman from, I think, Utah.
Well, what was that fellow's name?
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, but I think he's got a holding company that just buys everything.
He bought it and then he didn't need it and he threw it into some kind of Mormon swap meet. And this dude just came and picked it up.
That's how Glenn got it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, good for Glenn Beck.
Like 2 months after naming the network GBTV, he's like, no, you know what? I got in the Mormon bargain bin. I have this the Blaze thing. I can use that. And so he grabbed that and voila, as they say in France.
That's really smart. It just shows what a great businessman Glenn Beck is.
That's correct.
So, okay. So my daughter finally comes out of her room.
Yep. She sure did.
And it's time. And it's time to wake up my son.
Yes.
Now I remember him telling me, cause he was crying that night when he called me when I was at my convention, that you woke him up in a really unique sort of, you wanted it to be memorable, good TV, but also memorable for the boy. How did you wake him up?
Well, I put on a ski mask and then I burst into the room and instead of the air horn, I was holding your daughter and I said, watch me do it. Watch me kill her. And he shrieked like a little boy would if he saw his sister in danger.
I've heard that sound so many times.
And the kid, he loves it. He said, please don't hurt my sister. Please don't hurt my sister. I know. And I kept saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I did crazy eyes because that's the only thing you can see through my ski mask.
Yeah.
He just saw crazy eyes.
So cool.
I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And he burst into tears.
Aww.
And he's like, oh my God, I'm going to have anxiety issues. I'm going to need to take pharmaceuticals for the rest of my life.
Yep.
He's really like, he knows what's coming.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he sees all his friends.
You're going to trigger. I'm going to have ADHD and bipolar disorder and anxiety. I need pills, pills, pills.
Well, they have pill hour at school and it's every hour. So it's really exciting. The kids all come around the water fountain. It's a line about a mile long. It's like the opening of a Star Wars movie.
So it's a lot of kids do a lot of drugs. I'm seeing.
Yeah.
A lot of pharmaceuticals in the kids these days.
That's great.
Maybe that's why social media is so weird. So anyway, he's screaming and yelling and please don't hurt my sister. Please don't hurt my sister. So I'm like, okay, he's freaking out. So I take off my ski mask and he screams bloody murder.
What? Why?
Because I had put on a Freddy Krueger mask when I was talking to your daughter in the hallway.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot to take it off before I put on my ski mask. Mm-hmm. So I take off my ski mask. Now your son sees Freddy Krueger there.
Yeah.
And he's convinced I'm going to kill his sister.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's bursting into tears saying, just please, please, please. He's just crying, crying, crying. And then I realize, I'm like, oh my God, I've got the Freddy Krueger mask on.
Great. So you took that off and everything was fine?
No. I whipped off that mask and he freezes and he looks at me. And he seemed starstruck.
Why?
Because I was wearing a Freddie Mercury mask. So here he thinks that I came back from the dead and I'm the lead singer of Queen.
It's every kid's nightmare is to see like a zombie Freddie Mercury coming into their bedroom.
So now he's like, he's starstruck. He's terrified. Am I dead? Am I going to give him AIDS? He doesn't know what's going on here. Why does Freddie Mercury want to kill my sister? So confusing. He liked the music to begin with, and now he's kind of scared of the music because it reminds him of this terrible moment.
Yeah.
When he thought Freddie Mercury was trying to kill his sister.
Oh, man. So you took the mask off?
Yes.
Thank God. And everything was okay, and everything was fine at that point?
You would have thought.
What happened?
Well, I had been doing a sketch by myself about Justin Trudeau, the premier of Canada.
Yeah.
So I put on blackface because I was reenacting something the prime minister of Canada did many years ago.
Right.
So now he thinks Freddie Mercury is now ripping off his face and becoming this black guy.
Right.
And he's starstruck. Because now he thinks that I'm the star of the 80s movie Soul Man. The premise of which was a guy takes tanning pills that turn him black.
That's right.
The movie has aged really well. And your son is now sitting there thinking that the star of Soul Man, which I would look up on YouTube in a heartbeat, is threatening to kill his sister. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know if he should be offended because what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
And then I realize what I've done. And so I run out. I drop his sister on the floor and I run out and I go into the bathroom and I clean up and I use some of your wife's hair product in my hair. And it really, I don't know what she uses. It's very strong. It was summer's eve.
Oh, that's something else. That's yeah. There are bottles of that all over the bathroom.
So I put that in my hair.
Yeah, shoot.
I come running into the kid's room, your son's room. Your daughter's on the floor. She's kind of crying.
Still.
You know, she was really like shocked by the whole thing kind of threw her off. She didn't know if I was playing or trying to kill her. She didn't know if I was Freddy Krueger or Freddie Mercury or a racist prime minister of Canada. All these things.
Yeah.
But there's so much confusion in the room. You could taste it. By the way, this makes for great TV.
Yes.
Because the camera crews are all around the place.
Psyched. That's great.
And so finally your son, you know, he comes to his senses. He gets out of his bed. His bed's soaking wet. And he steps out of bed. And I say, you know, well, okay, let's get, it's Brian's here. And he half smiles. And I said, let's go. Let's get dressed. Let's go to school.
Yeah.
And I wait. And then he's like, no, you need to leave the room. So I don't know. You taught these kids to not let strangers watch them get dressed. And I guess that's commendable. I mean, it just depends on the audience.
Look, that's their mother. Okay. I don't want to talk about it. She leaves.
So I stepped outside, another 12 minutes of me, you know, loitering in the hallway, listening to your kid get dressed. The other one's whimpering. I don't know what's going on. Yep. To me, it's boring TV, but we can make it. We're going to do some stuff with editing.
Oh, what sort of stuff are you going to do to make that interesting in the edit?
You could, you intercut stuff.
Okay.
So you might have me walking up and down the hallway, just bored, waiting for your kids to come out of the damn room. But if we cut in like a lion chasing a jaguar, that's something.
Like
little Africa footage.
Not very helmethy, though.
No, it's not part of the Helmet household. It'll say that at the bottom. It'll say there'll be a sub. This is not part of the Helmet household. Do not try this at home.
Okay, good.
Just because some people might see the lion chasing a jaguar and be like, I want to do that.
God, I would hope not.
Yeah, but lawyers have made it so we have to put the thing at the bottom saying, just don't do this.
Right.
Don't go get a lion or a jaguar.
Okay.
So we'll spice it up. Maybe some shots of like TIE fighters.
You're not going to be able to get that footage. That's really expensive.
Well, no, you just draw your own.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Animation.
Animation, that's the great salvation. What so in waking up with the helmets, I assume that the show ends at some point in the morning, maybe by the time the kids go off to school or at school or something like that. So how does that whole episode, that first episode, end?
Well, I mean, I've still got to wake up your wife.
Okay. Yeah, she can be a little bit she wakes up easily. She's it's actually kind of annoying because just the littlest sound. I'm surprised the kid screaming bloody murder didn't get her up. So what was the process of getting her up and going?
Well, I get ready. I'm outside her door. I'm ready to burst in and start her day.
Yep.
With my ear horn and my rolling pin.
Yep.
And I go to open the door and I'm just turning the knob. It's locked.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like, oh, that throws a wrench in my plans.
Yep.
Then I hear stirring. I'm excited. And the door slowly turns, opens up, and there she is, buck naked.
Yeah. She's this nude sleeper.
Buck naked. She's completely naked. And I'm freaking out because I have not seen her naked like that.
Not like, you know, that.
On videos, it's one thing, but it's to see it live in the flesh. Like, that really threw me for a loop.
It is different.
I said, whoop, there it is.
You could have licensing issues galore, but why is that my top issue with what you just said? Okay, what else happened?
So, of course, she's surprised to see me. She says, "Is Brian?" Like, what, you know, in that voice, you know, when she's like that angry voice.
I know.
Brian, what are you doing here?
You mean her voice.
That thing that comes out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I didn't expect you to be buck naked. And she goes, well, I didn't expect you to be buck naked.
Wait just a darn minute. This whole time with these clothes in the, you weren't wearing clothes?
No. It's a pilot.
That explains nothing.
That's how you get buzz, Jack. This is how you loop people into the next episode.
I guess so. So, okay. So you're both standing there naked. And so she like slams the door and scurries off and puts on a robe, covers up, something like that.
No, she says, what are we going to do about this? Jesus.
Which put on clothes, right?
Well, no, because now I'm like, maybe she's coming on to me. I'm like, this could be kind of great. This is kind of exciting, right?
For the show.
This is titillating. In general, be exciting. And then I'm thinking like, but you'd find out because there's a camera crew around.
Yeah.
So I've, the one time in the last 30 years that a girl's come on to me strong. Mm-hmm. And I've got a camera crew to document it.
Shoot.
How unlucky.
So unlucky.
So I burst into tears. I went downstairs. 8 to 10 minutes of me sulking on the sofa.
Oh.
It just wasn't fair.
Life isn't fair sometimes.
It's just not. And then she comes downstairs and now she's in a bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, would you like some eggs?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure. And she said, okay, I think I've got one or two left. Because she's in her 40s, Jack.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I thought she was talking about breakfast.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
No.
She wants twins.
Was this about 13 months ago?
Yeah, that's when we started shooting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Can we just stop this bit now? Can we just cut to commercial or something?
Oh, I just did the math.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, Jack.
You know, we never even got into how we got into COVID. I was going to hope that you were going to like comb through the footage and tell me how I got COVID and how our whole family got COVID. But now it's time for like another book read. So I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm going to send you a book read.
Well, that's a good solution. And I guess we'll never know. I guess it doesn't matter how we got COVID.
How did you get COVID?
Thinking back about 10 days ago, fairly typical weekend in Connecticut. Let me just go through it. We went sledding because there's still some snow on the ground. That was in the morning.
Yeah.
We went to a little cafe for a little cozy lunch. We went to a used bookstore. We went to a wet market. And then we came home and played family games. So I don't see anything in there that would give you COVID. It's just like, who knows?
Well, I'm going to rule out the bookstore.
Okay.
Because people who read books are neurotic.
That's true.
And they wear masks because neurotic people wear masks.
That's right.
And I'm going to rule out the sledding.
Okay, why? I was thinking sledding.
Because the germs are too slow if you're on a sled.
That's true. You outrun the germs. Okay. That makes sense.
You outrun the germs when you're on a sled.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Toboggan, sled, a disc, a cafeteria tray. You're moving fast. The germs can't catch you.
Oh, so it must have been the Family Games. It must have been like some SARS or whatever spores in our game of like Sorry or Clue.
Did you play Clue?
We did play Clue, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I bet you it's Colonel Mustard in the study.
With what?
With a chopped up pangolin.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that is kind of COVID-y. Yep, that's what we figured it out.
Bingo.
Great job, us.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Brian.
I love solving mysteries.
It's really exciting. No, I guess that's why all those neurotic nerds love books so much.
That's right. Those silly nerds.
So do we have another book read for me? Because I would really like to give us some money for this podcast.
Yeah. So some friends at Random House.
Ooh.
Sent me an audiobook excerpt for you to read. They're interested in having your take on it, your read.
Okay.
It's a book called Nothing to See Here. I'm sending it to you now.
Nothing to See Here.
Nothing to See Here. It's kind of a memoirish type book.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it could be any genre, a memoir. That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it should be going through the internet and coming to you immediately, post haste.
Just got it.
In short order.
I just got it.
Okay. And my friends at Random House said, just take it away and read it.
Okay. Here we go.
Three, two, Nothing to See Here. One.
The old man looked right at me. His eyes revealed an internal struggle. He seemed to be asking himself who I was. His mouth moved slightly, as if he was preparing to speak. He took a breath and looked down for a moment, silent. Gathering his thoughts, he looked up again directly at me. There was a spark in his eyes this time. He remembered something about me. He knew I was there as a friend. His posture eased a bit. He passed gas, unbeknownst to himself, as happens with the very elderly. Michael, he said, confidently, but with an air of uncertainty. Mitchell, sir, I responded. Yes, Mitchell, yes, sorry. No problem, sir, are you ready? Again, confusion. He had to give it a moment. I gestured toward the door. He hesitated at first, but then began walking toward it. He stopped. He turned to look at me again. The door opened. He turned. A woman entered. He looked at her, then at me. It was clear he needed an introduction. I didn't want to alarm the woman, so I reacquainted the old man with the woman in a subtle way. Good morning, Madam Vice President, I said. She looked at me and smiled. The morning starts the day. The day begins and then comes later the rest of the day. After morning. Then noon. I looked back at the old man. It all came back to him. Fuck. I did that. I did that, he said. She ticked all the boxes. The president shook his head and passed wind. Keep the borders open, he said. We need to lose this thing. Damn it. Damn it.
Yeah, so close.
I knew from like the second sentence that it was Joe Biden. Like, I knew right away it was Biden.
So you would have been perfect for this book. Why did you blow it?
The borders and the ticking all the boxes. That's the part I didn't.
Oh, shucks.
Sorry.
It's all right. Maybe there'll be a third.
All right.
Jack.
Yes, Brian.
You know, this episode is sponsored by somebody.
Oh, man. Bezos.
No, I wish. Or his ex-wife. I don't care. Either one of them.
Hey, she's her innovation was essential, and that's why she got half of his money.
That's right. She did good.
Yeah, she's what an innovator. Shoot.
Now she's a philanthropist.
Yes.
You know what a philanthropist is, Jack?
A bored rich person?
Exactly, Jack. Usually the wife. A bored rich wife. Becomes a philanthropist.
Yes.
So she gets invited to fancy dinners.
That's right. And tell people at the dinners. It's sort of virtue signaling for the wealthy.
That's right. And then you put your name on the building, the Jack Helmuth building.
Mm-hmm. Where would my building be and what would it be for, do you think?
I'm thinking like a city university. I don't think Ivy League.
No, thank you.
You know, that's too snooty.
Mm-hmm.
That's not you. You're more down to earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe like a community college in a, like a second tier market. Dubuque Community College, DCC, Jack.
Okay.
And then people, they get off the train in Dubuque if they have those things. And then someone looks up and just says, oh, there's the Helmuth building.
And what would be housed inside the Helmuth building at Dubuque Community College?
Rabbits.
So it's a testing facility?
It's a testing facility on rabbits. They test unnecessary drugs on them.
Or things that they already know harm rabbits, but they just test it anyway.
They're just doing it anyway.
Or making sure.
Because the director of the Helmuth building is David Mengele.
I know Dave.
Yeah, he's related.
Yeah.
And he's testing rabbits for everything. Do tires hurt rabbits? Yes. They do.
What else have they learned?
That rabbits cannot fall long distances. The top of the Helmuth building is 30 feet.
The thought was maybe they bounce a lot, so they would potentially bounce to safety.
You know, they're fuzzy, they're cute. Maybe they bounce. Maybe the fur absorbs the impact, but apparently no.
Hmm.
Documented in many studies.
So how would you describe the sidewalk surrounding the Helmuth building?
It's damaged. There's a lot of broken concrete. There's blood spatter.
Uh-huh.
There's viscera, as we say in the dead animals business. Uh-huh. You know, they have the cars up on the sidewalk testing, and then, you know, that creates problems, damages. Skateboarders have damaged all the railings because there are, you know, can a bunny stop a skateboarder? Answer is no. 12 papers.
12. Oh, these were published.
Yeah. These are peer reviewed by Claudine Gay and friends.
How would she know? She's no peer of them. These are people who've actually written things.
Well, you know, she's on the committee. We don't know why.
Well,
they invited her.
I have an idea.
They invited her.
Okay. Well, whatever. Yeah. What else have we learned? Just real quickly. Like just a final thing or two about rabbits?
Can a rabbit stop a home invasion?
Hopefully.
Nope.
Oh.
If you threaten a police officer with a rabbit,
mm-hmm.
will he back down?
Okay. What's the answer?
Yeah. No.
What will the officer do in the studies that have been conducted at the Helmuth building?
He will pepper you with gunfire from a 9mm service pistol.
Okay, but pepper you or pepper the rabbit?
Both. It's in the general. If the rabbit is being held in front of the center of mass,
mm-hmm.
where the officer is trained to shoot,
mm-hmm.
then the rabbit will receive a lot of the gunfire. But of course, based on several tests conducted at the Helmuth facility, we know that rabbits do not stop bullets. So whoever's behind the rabbit is also subject to being peppered with the officer's 9mm gunfire.
Okay. God, it's a lot of learning being done. I'm proud to potentially have my name on that building one day, just as I'm sure Silent Partners is proud to sponsor a podcast that talks about stuff like this.
That's right, Jack. Silent Partners. You know, they have a website.
No.
They do. And I spent a lot of time on it.
What did you learn from the website?
That its domain name is silent.partners.
So if someone had need for the services of Silent Partners, they would go to this website?
They'd go to that website. Because if they go to silentpartners.com, I don't know what they're going to get. although they might be indicted.
For what?
I know, just having weird stuff on their hard drive. Just don't go to silentpartners.com, Jack. You got to go to silent.partners.
Brian.
Yeah.
I just went to silentpartners.com.
Okay, now you're in trouble. We want to get that out of people's brains because that's not the domain. That domain will install very damaging files on your computer.
Wait, silent.partners will?
No. Silentpartners.com is the bad one. You want silent.partners. I didn't even know that was a domain.
I didn't either.
When I saw that and I was like, wait, that .partners is a domain? And they're like, yeah, what do you know? And I was like, I don't know, but I didn't know that.
Really aggressive.
No, they're mean. They're very aggressive. Silent.partners, Jack, is the domain.
Okay, but here at silentpartners.com, I've noticed, I know, but I can't quit them. It says here, last modified 12/7, that's December 7th, 2004.
That's the silentpartners.com?
Yes, it was last updated nearly 20 years ago.
It's kind of a shame that they're holding on to it.
Yeah.
Like the jerk on Twitter that has at Brian Sack.
Oh, that's mean.
That hurts. Although I don't really use Twitter. Get bored of it.
Yeah, well, that hurts. Man,
they took away my credentials, Jack. I lost my blue check.
Oh, that's a shame.
Really hurt. Thanks, Elon.
But back to silent.partners.
Partners. Yeah, that's the website.
So I'm on this website now, as the silentpartners.com website says it's currently uploading files. That'll be fun to see what that is. Silent.partners, and it says equipping enterprising leaders, parentheses, mm-hmm. and their companies, end parentheses, to navigate what's next. And navigate what's next is bolded. And then there are three choices, Brian, and we're going to choose one right now.
All right.
It says, what's next in your journey? Option one. I'm starting something new.
Okay.
Number two, I'm selling my company. Mm-hmm. And three, something else.
I guess something else.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I'm clicking something else.
Me too.
Oh.
A few more questions.
Yep. Full name. Okay. Brian. Let me just put in your name here.
Jack Helmuth.
Brian Sack.
Okay.
Okay. How do you prefer to be contacted? Telepathy is email. Not here. So I'll go email as well. What is your email address? Okay.
Jack.
In your
at qmpodcast.com.
What's important
What's
for us
important
to know about
for us to,
What's important have, for us to know about you?
I have one eye and one ear. Submit. Thank you for trusting your contact info to us. That's a scary thing to do. We promise we're real people on the other side of the internet, and we will get back to you within one business day of receipt. We look forward to talking soon. What did I just sign up for, Jack?
We'll have to let people know next week when Silent Partners contacts us or raids us.
All right. Or uploads things to our hard drive.
Silent.partners.
That's right, Jack.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, Jack.
There's one more thing I want to talk about before we end this show.
Good. There's one more thing I want to say to you before we end the show.
Well, what is it you want to say to me?
Whatever you're saying.
Oh, well, thank you. That was less confrontational than I anticipated. So there's a story. You know, I love finding stories. This is a story that was just released. It was just published. That says the Navy is lowering the bar to enlist yet again.
Fantastic.
Amid continued recruiting woes.
Yes.
The Navy apparently missed its 2023 recruiting goal by nearly 6,000.
Woof.
Yeah. And you, do you still freelance at the Pentagon?
I do. Yeah. They call me in every now and then.
So, and you work in recruiting, like you're a recruiter, right?
It's one of my things. You know, I'm a draw. They mm-hmm. call me the guy who draws people. I'm like Tom Cruise, Jack.
Sure.
But not for movies. You know, I'm a draw.
Right. But except a super straight draw. Like that's sort of your main difference.
Yeah. A super incredibly straight draw. And I'm not Scientologist.
Right. But otherwise indistinguishable.
And a little taller than Tom Cruise. A little taller.
A little bit. Because you're 5'1", right?
I'm 5'1 and 1/8.
Yeah, so you're at least a foot taller.
But aside from that, we're very, very similar.
Otherwise, indistinguishable.
We were both married to Nicole Kidman.
That's right. At the same time.
Simultaneously.
How did that go?
It was exciting and different and sometimes frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she said, okay, I got to get back to my husband. And I'd be like, what? You know, and then she's like, my other husband.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, right. That guy.
That is frustrating.
And she come back and she smells like cheddar.
Why?
It's a long story, but Tom Cruise has a cheese penis.
That's a long story.
Well, not too long.
Jesus God. Okay. Silent dot partners. Am I getting that right?
Yep.
So, anyway.
Yes?
The Navy has lowered their recruiting standards again. So I was just wondering real quick, since you freelance with the Pentagon.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you're recruiting folks, some of the new avenues you're taking to find people to fill sort of the giant chasm of recruitment needs for the U.S. Navy.
Yeah, well, you know, we need bodies on boats is what that's our motto. Bodies on boats.
All right.
And we got to get people to join, got to get people into the Navy. Without a Navy, we can't project force.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, what you'd call a national security risk.
So they brought you on. That makes sense.
Brought me on. And I came up with some straightforward common sense solutions to finding people to join the Navy.
Great. We need bodies on boats. So what can we hear some of those solutions, please?
Yeah, well, one is where there's going to be a lot of advertising in ring dings and ho-hos.
Really?
Yes.
In them? Like, it. What does that mean?
Well, you know, you've had a ring ding in the past, right?
Yeah, look at me. Of course I have.
Yeah, so you rip open the little package and you take out that ring ding and you just bite into it.
Yep.
And, oh, whoa, what is that? That's a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it out of your mouth and you unroll it. And it says, wouldn't you rather be enjoying this on the ocean? And then at the bottom, it says all the ring dings you can eat if you join the Navy.
Oh. Now, you recently bought stock in ring dings.
I've diversified my portfolio.
Okay. Because it seems like that's a big government nut that's about to come in for ringdings. If boats are going to be carrying ringdings, like, is there going to be like a separate ringding like ferry attached?
They're
going to
call it. It's going to be called the ring dinghy, and it will be loaded with ringdings.
Uh huh.
And as you can imagine, Nancy Pelosi just bought a tremendous amount of stock as well, also in the dinghy company.
Sure.
And so this is the thing. So we're, you know, people, as many ring dings as you want, as long as you join the Navy.
But Brian, isn't that a huge risk to start an international incident? I mean, you know, Russian sailors who aren't fed are going to immediately like race to the dinghy, the ring dinghy.
That's part of my strategy.
What?
That's part of my strategy. So let's pretend that the Moskva wasn't sunk by Ukrainians and it was still floating in the flagship of the Russian fleet.
Sure.
And then it spots a U.S. Navy battle cruiser towing a ring dinghy.
Yeah.
Just laden with ring dings.
Yep.
And then they see that and they're like, oh, I'm hungry. I'd like to eat these ring dings. We will intercept. And so they come and they come alongside the ring dinghy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they jump into the ring ding and they start grabbing all the ring dings and eating them. And then as they're eating them, oh, something is inside. And they take out a piece of paper and in perfect Russian.
Oh. And said,
wouldn't you rather be enjoying this on our ship? Join the U.S. Navy now.
No way.
Free ring dings for you too.
Holy cow.
And this is the thing, Jack. We're sending billions of dollars in military hardware to Ukraine and stuff. It's going to, the Republicans have a big kerfuffle over it. They're all so upset. But this costs us very little in comparison.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of return on investment.
I'm sorry?
Well, we're getting a lot of return on investment now because the U.S. Navy, we've already seen a tremendous number of Russian sailors join the U.S. Navy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're super enthusiastic. They want to tour all the ships. They get excited. They want to see like the nuclear power, how it works and on the aircraft carriers. And they're taking notes like crazy. They're really enjoying it.
That sounds like a great field trip for these guys.
They're very excited about it. And, you know, they said they're going to take down as many notes as they can. And then they're going to pop on back to Russia and pack their stuff and then come back and join our Navy.
Well, that's great. What a surge in sailors we're going to have. Great
bodies
job,
on Brian. Boats. Bodies on boats.
Bodies on boats. I love this, Brian. Just taking Russians right off the motherland.
That's right, Jack. And Pakistanis.
Oh, I didn't know they had much of a Navy.
They do.
Oh, good for them.
They have a Navy.
What's their Navy like?
Well, it's pork free. So if you wake up and you go downstairs, and they have an aircraft carrier, but it just has one aircraft. Oh. So it's a small, it's just more like a runway with a keel. And if you pop downstairs to their mess hall and you say, I would like some bacon and eggs, they'll just look at you like, no bacon, but we have eggs.
Right.
And then you say, fine, I'll take the eggs. And then they walk over, they open up a cabinet, and there's Betsy, buck naked.
So has she been kidnapped by the Pakistanis or is she working with them? I need to know.
Should I keep you in suspense or just tell you the answer?
Just tell me the answer.
She loves the Pakistani sailors.
Jeez. No, I don't want to do bits anymore. No. Silent Dot Partners.
Silent Dot Partners.
Oh.
Jack.
What?
You okay?
Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Would you like to make some money for the podcast, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to the money from Silent Dot Partners.
Silentpartners.com?
Nope. Silent Dot Partners.
Dot Partners.
Dot Partners. In addition to that, we could make money if you could maybe do an audiobook read and get it.
Okay. I can do this.
You just need to be professional. That's all I'm asking.
This has been a humiliating episode of the podcast. I hate this episode, and I'm going to end with a win.
All right. Well, I'm sending you a script right now. I need to put your email address in there or it won't go. And I don't want to send it to the wrong person because that would be weird. All right. I just sent it to you.
All right.
It's on its way. And this is a memoir about it by a serial killer.
Okay.
Kind of fascinating, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, crime podcasts are very popular and so are books about crime.
Okay.
And here's a hardened serial killer criminal reminiscing about his life.
And it says serial killer, a memoir.
Serial killer, a memoir.
All right. I've never read this thing before.
Three,
so let's go.
Two, one.
My dad was a simple, loving man with a weird voice and a grotesque body. This is going to be about me. He was often away on business, and although he tried to explain to me what he did, I would tune out and never really grasped it. All I knew was it paid the bills. I knew that my mother was a talented interior decorator. I don't know much more about what she did, other than she specialized in decorating bunga bunga rooms in rich people's houses. Her company was called Affordable Bunga Bunga Room Design. She often worked late and was always getting invited to attend parties in the very rooms she helped design. I didn't think much of it at the time because I didn't know what bunga bunga meant. She would often stumble back to the house in the wee hours of the night, her clothes in tatters and her knees and her knees rubbed raw. Her jaw was often swollen and her hair tousled as if she'd been repeatedly tapped on the head by erections. Jesus Christ. God. I assumed her condition was from working so very hard, but it was only later in my adult years that I learned that while my dad was off on business trips, my dear mother was getting passed around the bunga bunga room like a tray of hors d'oeuvres. It was a secret I would keep from my father. As a result, I had a lot of time to myself growing up. I had a sister, but she was far from human. In an effort to have someone to spend time with, I set about building a real woman out of Legos. I soon realized that a thin woman was more desirable because it took far fewer Legos to build. My dopey dad would have to work 10 times more to afford enough Legos if I modeled my woman after Lena Dunham. Unfortunately, my woman was mostly gray because she was made from Star Wars Lego kits. It hurt to make love.
Shoot.
We seem to have a theme in this podcast.
Silent partners.
Like us and all that. Tell a friend about the podcast.
That was Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. Subscribe on any podcast platform. Visit us at qmpodcast.com.